Welcome to the World Wide Web Radio Show. You are listening to W3W3.com, an internet radio show for people who need to be able to access the best in class when the time is right for them 24/7.
That's right, Larry. W3W3 Internet Talk Radio is designed for the learning listener. It's all about helping every listener and his or her team achieve a more productive, personal, and professional life.
Today, our guest in our Profiles of Industry Leaders is Mark Holtzman, Secretary of Technology in Governor Owen's cabinet. Secretary Holtzman is responsible for the Governor's Office of Innovation and Technology. And we can tell you he is extremely active in the business community in the state of Colorado.
Listeners have asked us, what is Mark Holtzman really like? What makes him tick and why is he so successful? Mark, it's a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Well, Pat, it's nice to be here with you.
Yeah, it's great. We're really looking forward to this, as we have in the past. You've always shared some excellent advice on past radio shows and, of course, the different events that we've seen you at, and we always enjoy this. Now, let's take a look at the technology sector as it relates today, and what is the state of Colorado looking forward to this coming year?
Well, we have a lot of things on our plate. Governor Owens has established an extremely aggressive agenda. Colorado's technology sector has transformed so incredibly fast in even just the last 3 years. If you were to look at the technology landscape in the state of Colorado only a few years ago, you would have seen an economy essentially based upon telecommunications and traditional high tech. And today, while that's an important part of our economic base, we also are greatly benefiting from a tremendous upsurge in biotechnology with what's happening at Fitzsimmons, from aerospace and defense, with over 100,000 people now employed in the aerospace defense industry in Colorado. And by the way, that number has tremendous potential to increase over the next decade. And venture capital. We now are the fifth largest recipient in America of all the states when it comes to venture capital allocation. And if you were to consider, Larry, on a per capita basis, we'd be number one.
Wow, I love it. Sounds good.
Mark, let's rewind a little and get a historical perspective of the experiences and events that shaped your growth. Who was a very influential person in your earlier life, and what was the key point you learned from that influence?
Well, Ronald Reagan was my inspiration. I had the privilege and opportunity of working for him for almost 7 years in a variety of capacities. I was on leave from college, from Lehigh University in 1979. I was the 11th person hired by the Reagan for President Committee, and I did everything from advance work to menial chores to eventually being the executive assistant to Drew Lewis, who later went on to be the U.S. Secretary of Transportation, Bill Casey, and Ed Meese, and I worked through that presidential transition, and it was not only my inspiration to public service, but I learned so much about life, about balance, just the pure goodness of this man and the inspiration that he radiated.
What experience in your education or your background has really influenced your values and your beliefs the most?
Well, most of what I consider to be my knowledge base of experience came from on-the-job learning. I always liked working. I always liked being self-sufficient, being organized, being particularly fond of detail and execution. Now, there are a lot of good ideas, but without good execution and thoroughness and determination and drive, many of those ideas never come to fruition.
This question is tough, Mark. What challenge did you encounter that you had to learn to live with, and is there a lesson that could benefit our listeners?
Pat, probably balance would be the biggest thing that I would say has been a lesson that I have learned and even am continuing to learn. Balance in life, understanding that, you know, while sometimes some of us tend to be like a record moving at 78 speed, a lot of the rest of the world is moving at 33 or it's so old I don't even remember what it was, 40 or 42 or whatever.
Yeah,
the point is that it's important to realize that balance is important. Balance in life, balance in work, balance in relationships with other people, so that you can get the most out of life and understand and appreciate, and at the same time be very focused and determined.
You know, Mark, you have been through so many things, and Pat and I have taken some time to look at your biography, and Boy, there's some fascinating things, and we would like to put up some of that information on your portal page on the W3W3.com website. But let me ask this question. While I'm sure there are probably many, what might be a turning point in your career?
Well, I've had several turning points in my career. I grew up in a family of with two parents who were fairly liberal Democrats, supporters in the late 60s of Senator Hubert Humphrey and his presidential effort. When I became interested in Ronald Reagan and seemed to identify with visionary conservative politics, a lot of friends of my parents wondered, you know, where did we go wrong? So I would say that my interest in politics as in my late teen years was a turning point in my life. Another turning point in my life was running for office in the mid-1980s and failing and being defeated and understanding that, you know, defeat is part of life's experience and you just kind of pull yourself together and sometimes it's not easy, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it provides challenges, but you just move on and you get on with it and you keep going. And the other transitional point in my life was going over to Eastern Europe in 1989, not having a firm background in finance or investment banking, embarking on a totally new career in a country that was hungry at the time, that was going through tumultuous transformation, economic, political, social, I mean, you name it, it was happening there, and having the courage to overcome what was enormous self-doubt for the first year. Did I make the right decision? Am I doing the right thing? You know, why is it that I can't seem to be getting any project off the ground? And, you know, because it was hard starting. It was very, very difficult. But again, it was that focus, that determination, and maybe even fear of failure, not wanting to go home with my tail between my legs, that really kept me focused. And so I would say that believe in yourself. That's the most important lesson that I came away with from these experiences. I would also add this. You asked me earlier about advice to young people. I would say that whether you are in business, in politics, in any field of life, I really believe, and I've always told my young investment bankers and now the people that I'm working with in government that you know, government is slightly different because it's not a profit-making enterprise, but in most things you do in life, I really believe that people ought to look at it with three different passions. One is try and make a difference. Try and make a difference for other people around you and for yourself. Try and improve people's lives. Secondly, have fun. Don't take yourself too seriously. Yeah. Understand that you got to be in a profession or in a part of life where you're enjoying what you're doing. And then the third thing is make money. I really believe, with the exception of government and public service, which doesn't often provide those kind of opportunities, people do it for the love of public service, especially when you're in the technology profession and the private sector can compensate so much better. But I really believe that in the theory of the invisible hand, that it is impossible in life to advance your own self-interest without also advancing the interests of others, or maybe better put in the words of President Kennedy, a rising tide will lift all boats. And I really believe that. I believe it passionately. So make a difference, have fun, and make money. And these are not mutually exclusive goals.
Well, that's, you know, it's interesting. I just wanted to reflect back on your comment about losing the election and realizing that failure is just a part of it. Well, I recall the very first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, lost a good dozen elections before he finally made it.
Actually, Larry, he lost seven straight elections. He had two nervous breakdowns in his life, and by today's media standards, would probably find it impossible to get elected to public office. I mean, but an extraordinary man, a man who was tormented by everything from migraine headaches to severe bouts of depression, but yet he not only changed America, he completely altered the course of freedom in the world.
Mark, you brought up balance and you mentioned about having fun on the job. Is there anything that you do in particular to bring balance into your both your personal and your professional lives?
Well, I love to work out, to bike, to ski, to, you know, do anything that...
Oh, you enjoy all the things in Colorado.
Well, so that's one of the real benefits of living here. But I would also say that I read, and I intentionally read a variety of topics that are not always either public affairs or biography or political, all of which I find very interesting. For example, I'm reading now a book called Gun, Germs, and Steel, and it's all about why 40,000 years ago, when everybody on the planet was a hunter-gatherer, why European and Asian cultures developed in a different way from, say, the Aborigines or their descendants that went to Australia, or the Indians 12,000 years ago that came across the Bering Strait to settle America. I'm reading another book by David Fortney called Life, a biography of 4 billion years of life on Earth, and it talks mm-hmm. about how 150 million years ago, when plant life was first starting, how trees on average on this planet were 150 feet tall because there was such competition for light that only tall trees through natural selection lived. And I read Scientific American and Discover magazine, and yes, I even read the National Enquirer to try to get a pulse on what most people in this world are thinking. So.
That's right.
our youngest daughter is an anthropologist, and one book you might find interesting is Next of Kin. It's mm-hmm. fascinating. So, Mark, what will your legacy be, and how do you want to be remembered?
Well, this governor, Governor Bill Owens, has given me an extraordinary opportunity to create an office from scratch, to do so under his direct support, which means that in a governmental situation where people are competing for all kinds of different ideas and limited resources, this is an agenda item that is so important to this governor. This governor realizes that Colorado's future is going to be dramatically shaped by the steps we take today, that the things we're doing now are going to influence the next century in this state, and we're creating a model for others to follow. And by doing so in the way that this governor has provided the platform, we're really going to be able to make a difference.
That's great to be a part of that team, Senator. I feel like I'm right in there. Mark, I want to thank you, first of all, just for taking time out of your valuable schedule. I know your book's solid. But in sharing your personal experiences, I think mean the most to our W3 listeners. There's no doubt that it will benefit in many ways. And as a Coloradan, I tell you, we'd like to offer our special thanks for your focus and your energy on Colorado's future.
Larry, thank you so much. And Pat, thank you for all you do.
Mark, thank you. We're looking forward to talking to you soon with future updates. This is Larry and Pat Nelson on the W3 Worldwide Web Radio Show.